The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of The Bird Calls. He is Ali Kosel. I am David Grubb. And as the preseason comes to an end, the Pelicans have saved their best for last, getting a win. Not only getting a win, but winning by double digits in Orlando, 104-92. Ali, there are a lot of good things that we can take away from this preseason game. Again, we never want to overestimate the value of a preseason game, but the things that we've always preached, effort, execution, seeing the just communication on the floor, those types of things. The Pelicans starters came out and did that tonight.
Absolutely. It was troubling to see what they did in the Atlanta Hawks game and coming off the heels of what was even a worse performance, right, against the Houston Rockets, to where, yeah, the 50 turnovers, awful. The defense, keeping opponents out of the lane especially, awful. But nothing can compare to, I think, just the basic natural tendencies of a sport. And if you don't have a competitive flavor, if you don't have fight, spirit, that's ground zero, right? So I actually had a funny analogy occurred to me when I was watching this game with the way Zion Williamson took over defensively. And that was everybody, I'm sure, that watches this has seen Bad Boys, right? Will Smith, Martin Lawrence, and Will Smith's character.
That's how you want to drive.
Always made fun of him for the way he drove. Timid, all this and that. It just doesn't work, right? Not being a cop. So when that one time he's upset, that switch got flipped. Wow. Yeah, the way he exploded. That's how you always drive. So I was just watching them play basketball. And yeah, Herb swarming. Dyson's doing his thing defensive. But to see Zion actually leading that charge of resistance, I loved it. Yeah, I loved it. So, David, that's what we need to see from a start. Yeah, there's still things to clean up without a doubt. But that's a good way to close out preseason.
Yeah, I thought that, you know, look, the starters still commit too many turnovers. That was a big problem. They, you know, they committed 10 turnovers. They had 15 assists. They passed the ball, and you saw them give up the ball willingly. But again, 10 turnovers is a lot for your starting group. Particularly, Zion did have three. Jonas had three, which he should not be turning it over that much, even though we know he's turnover prone. It's just those are bad decisions. And CJ, I will say this, CJ had the turnovers that he had were bad, but he only had two. And CJ had been averaging somewhere around four turnovers a game, it felt like, earlier in this, in the first three games of this preseason. But other than that, and the lack of three-point shooting from the starters, you know, again, they didn't really shoot it well. Herb shot well, 2 for 3 from 3-point range, but everybody else, CJ was 1 for 2, I think, but you know, it wasn't really a great shooting performance overall from them for three again, but they were so aggressive. Like you said, defensively turning points into – they won the fast break points for the first time in the preseason. They won points in the paint by 10 points. That was them being active, and that was the big difference tonight.
Like most teams, especially younger teams, ones that haven't accomplished anything, you know what drives their offense – or excuse me – their offense, yeah, it's good defense, right? So Pelicans, as you mentioned, I mean, what were they? I think 2 of 14 or 15 from three before, you know, the end of the bench came in to close out the game. They couldn't drop it in the ocean. And as you mentioned, some of those turnovers were bad. I mean, Kyra, CJ, others just flat out passed the ball to the Magic. And we saw that in a lot previous two games, but not as much tonight. Yet, yeah, everything with this team is always going to start defensively, right? Until they actually can nail down their offense to where, say you're like the Golden State Warriors, say you're like one of these teams that has been together for a while that knows each other's tendencies so well, knows what they should be doing, right? Where they should be looking for their shots. Until they get that figured out, they are going to truly have to mimic what they did last season defensively. And that's bring, honestly, just more effort, more help giving teammates, you name it, all the above, to drive a successful season?
I want to focus in on Zion because his first quarter, his tone setting, coming out 10 points in the first quarter of his 16, four steals. He had a block in the first quarter as well. And I think he had four of his five assists were in that first quarter as well. Four of his five steals were in the first quarter. He just came out and he ran the floor. He was aggressive. He used his hands wisely. He got into passing lanes. We saw him being anticipating the pass and using his body as an impediment rather than to go through people. He was blocking, using his body to block off the passing lanes. I just thought it was one of those defensive performances for him. That we've seen in flashes, but I think that's the kind of defender he has to be. He's never going to be a shot blocker, but if he can be the kind of guy with quick hands against bigs and snatch that ball from them when they turn in the post, if he can get steals from guys who aren't as quick as he is, that's where he really can have an impact as a defender.
And that's what we saw, you know, in some glimpses a lot last season, right? Once he got his legs under him, making an effort defensively and using, right, that athleticism, the IQ that I think he possesses, right? Today, the head was on a swivel. He was getting in all those passing lanes. And then my favorite was all the times he offered help to teammates, right? So that's where a couple of his steals came from. And I think a block shot. So when he's flying all over the court, which he can do, you know, as well as anybody in the league outside of maybe like the Anthony Davises and the Giannises, that's a total game changer. And again, it's something that the Pelicans need, right? You've got a couple good wing defenders. You've got some other guys that can give you some defense. But when you're talking about big men, outside of Larry Nance, who's a positive defensively, right? Just looking back over the last 3-4 years, it's been very limited. So Zion really has to step into that role. And like I said, when he was at his best, we saw Duke, he was doing on both ends. And I always felt like it was his defense there that drove, right, his offense. It turned on that aggressiveness. It made him more focused, right? If you come out with purpose defensively, I think that's the key for Zion. You know, some other players operate opposite, you know, differently, right? They need a couple shots to go in before they get engaged on that end. I don't think that's how Zion operates. And I thought today was really a good display of that.
I also want to give him a lot of credit for his leadership. He displayed leadership on the floor, even on the offensive end. And we go back to that second game where he didn't get touches. And there are times where he kind of looked even almost indifferent. You talked about it. He would just pass the ball right back out. There were times tonight he didn't have the basketball, but I see and I hear him. I hear him telling players where to go. I see him pointing to guys and saying, go over there. Even when he doesn't have the ball in his hands, he was instructing and participating in the offense. And that's not something we had always seen from him. Again, it felt like tonight he was locked in from the moment he stepped on the floor until they told him you're done.
Yeah, and it's going to be really key for several reasons, which I kind of already alluded to. One, when you're playing next to Jonas Valanciunas, you're going to need to be probably at least a solid defender. But it's better if you can just contribute in a whole bunch of areas, right? You've got to be the kind of the safety, so to speak, because let's face it, the 4 and 5 are usually the ones that are in the best position to offer help because of the guys they're guarding. And yeah, Zion, it's just amazing to think about what we saw just 3 days ago to what we saw today. The question always will be now, consistency, right? Will that carry over in so many areas, but especially for Zion, right? And I'll tell you what, I kind of like that it's probably going to carry over, right? He's not a guy that showed up, for instance, once he got going last season. I mean, I can't recall how many games he helped win defensively during like that 5-game winning streak, the 7-game winning streak. I mean, he had big steals, big blocks, and clutch minutes. But I think once, like I said, he's just engaged and focused, it almost comes naturally to him. So, yeah, David, it does really belong with him. And I'm glad you brought the whole leadership aspect. It's great that the Pelicans have surrounded Brandon Ingram and Zion, two of the quieter leaders, considering they're two of the best players in that league, with guys that are more vocal, guys that are, you know, they're all effort, right? They're 110% mm-hmm. on anything they do out there on the court, right? So the Larry Nances, Jose Alvarados, Herbs, Yeah, you need those guys around a B.I. Zion, but it still helps. And we saw tonight, if one of those guys really grabs the reins, it's so much easier, I think, for everybody else just to fall in line, right? And it felt like once Zion got a few of those steals, Pelicans' offense started clicking. They started really containing the Magic better, who got loose, right, for some open threes. There was a lot of breakdowns. But they cleaned it up enough to where, despite the three ball not going in, despite not getting a lot of calls, right, I thought there was a lot of missed opportunities for them to get to the line where some of them went uncalled. But again, nothing offensively shined. But because of Zion stepping forward, it really dictated this entire game. It made Franz Wagner, I should say the Wagner brothers, right? It's not Orlando Magic, it's the Orlando Wagners. It made them almost irrelevant. They had two fantastic games, but it completely got overshadowed by Zion.
Yeah, I mean, they combined for 35 points. They shot 5 of 10 from three. And I think they shot some like 70% overall from the floor. Just ridiculous between the two of them. But the Pelicans, when you get an engaged Zion, we've seen them in the past where they couldn't shoot threes. This is not something new. But like you said, when you get an engaged Zion and you win points in the paint and you win fast break points and you don't get doubled up in second chance points, when you are also – they also outscored Orlando at the free throw line and shot their best percentage of the preseason at the free throw line. So they made their free throws, which was an important thing. Zion made 4 or 5 himself. You know, everything, like you said, it flows from him. It just does. B.I. can have great games, and we've seen him lead this team to wins. But when Zion is going, it's different. It's just that's the difference between elite and all time. And Zion has that ability to be all time. And it's so apparent. It's so apparent that you don't have to be at your best if he's at his. Now, you don't want to lean on that, but that is a very rare thing in the NBA to have a player where other guys, the rest of your team, doesn't have to be at its best, because this guy will automatically raise everyone's level just with his presence. He didn't have 20 boards. He didn't have, you know, like it was the steals and everything flowed from there. It was his scoring, and you saw his face change. There was no smiling from Zion tonight when he didn't get calls. You've seen a couple of it the last couple of quarters. He got knocked down in the Atlanta game and kind of got up and was a little upset at one point. Maybe it got to him after that second game, and that switch that you've talked about before, that competitive part of him that maybe was idle since January, whatever it took, maybe that fire has been stoked again.
Right, and we can't overlook that he was going up against Paolo Banchero. And I've got to think that he wanted to show him up, considering how the first game went, to where Banchero got the better of him. And look, I think also having Z be kind of that all-dominant kind of, you know, it's synonymous almost with what? Kawhi Leonard, LeBron James, when they're absolutely at their peak, being able to utilize their athletic talents along with that IQ fully across the entire court, that I think it allows B.I., just to be more, you know, more comfortable offensively, because he's really just has to focus on that end. Now, look, I've seen effort from him defensively. He really does try and get to the boards. We've seen in this preseason. But I thought tonight, B.I. was clean, right? I mean, he finally had a positive assist to turnover ratio, 6-1. And he started off slowly, but I'm glad he was looking for his shot, right? He's got to get himself going. If the Pelicans are going to be successful, it's going to take a multitude of things, but it's going to take all-star 25-point-per-game B.I. making, what, 45% of his shots. And I saw him really push that, because he started off slowly. He made 2 of 8 in that first quarter, and I'm like, oh, boy, here we go again. But then he made 6 of his final 8, didn't get a 3 to go down, but he also didn't look for him, right? He only shot, I think, 1 3 on a night.
And it was from that spot that you hate. He took the 1 3 from that spot.
The thing I like, David, is he began the game with what? A drive. He went to the rim. He missed at the rim, just like a lot of other Pels did tonight, right? I mean, Dyson missed a point blank one. Jonas had a couple. But I like that everybody was in a right mindset, playing to the strengths, you know, of their roles. And so behind is scoring. And look, David, here's my favorite almost. Outside of Z, what about Jonas Valanciunas? The team was looking for him in the first half, especially when it wasn't all starters out there. And he had 8 shots in the first half. I thought he really kind of carried that offense in the second quarter when, you know, a couple of the main guys were out. So there was a lot where you could pick apart from this game that I think you can carry over. Now it's, of course, being able to put all together when most of your, you know, key guys are out there, but saw a lot of positives out there. It wasn't just Z, which I'm sure we'll get to in depth a little bit now.
Yeah, I think, you know, when we get to the regular season, the bench is going to be an issue. You know, obviously, when you don't have Trey available to you and we still haven't really established who the lead scorer is going to be off the bench. But tonight, the bench was very good. And I want to highlight in particular Trey Jameson, who could be now in contention for a spot on this as some kind of contract because of the status of the Pelicans' bigs. They don't have much size on this team right now. They went out there tonight and had two guys on the roster, height 6'9", and both of them, Jonas and Jameson. Those were the only two guys out there over 6'9". Jameson comes in 8 points in the fourth quarter, all of them valuable points. His offensive rebounding was big. He blocked a couple of shots. He altered some shots and played some solid defense. But I thought his activity on both ends of the floor, and he showed he could also knock down a little mid-range jumper as well. It was a good performance for him.
Yeah, so I was just looking at some stats yesterday, and then this morning I looked a little bit deeper, and Trey Jameson has had a really good preseason, right, leading up to tonight. That's gone largely unnoticed, right? So I had to throw a tweet out there, I should say on X. But, yeah, to your point, Liam Robbins was waived this past week. There's just a size of, you know, questionable size once you get past Valanciunas. Larry Nance, you know, he can't hold up through a full season, so he's got to have his breaks. You're hoping that they can indeed maybe unlock some of this small ball with Z at the five, maybe sometimes Herb. But, yeah, you still need somebody else if it's not going to be Cody Zeller, which we're certain he's going to get his chance, but you need that third big. Right. So I think
I worry about Zeller's injury history, though. This is a guy, again, who has not played more than 50 games in the last 4 years. And he's coming in with back issues, which are the worst for bigs. Backs, knees, feet. You don't want to ever hear about those. Backs are persistent issues for big men sometimes.
Right. So I'm hoping that we do get to see Cody. I'm hoping that this back was just something that was, you know, he was basically kept out for precautionary reasons, these handful of games. But look, Jameson, you know what I like about him? He's a legit 6'11". He's a legit, 250, probably 260 pounds, and he plays his role to a T. He's always grabbing rebounds in traffic. You love to see that. And then offensively, the only times he's going to shoot is when he's kind of in his wheelhouse. He's got this nifty little one-handed baby hook that, you know, whether you want to call it a floater, baby hook, something, maybe a hybrid, right, of the two.
Right.
But that's largely the shot he goes to unless it's a layup or a dunk, and I've got no problem with that. On top of that, he can pass the ball a little bit. In the last game, he had a couple of nice assists, right? I think he only had one tonight. But again, he shows a good understanding of the game. But defensively, I like his quick feet, David. He doesn't always have to be guarding, you know, a legitimate center out there, because I saw him be able to stay with guys high up, you know, on the perimeter, hedge hard a few times, get back to his man. He made all, you know, the correct reads. So that to me is promising. You know, that was something we wished out of Jackson Hayes for 3 years. Jameson's showing it, and this is his first cup of really, you know, NBA action. I know he played for the Suns in summer league, but again, he's fresh out of UAB, not familiar with the NBA game, and I thought he showed enough to where I hope the Pelicans award him that third two-way contract.
Dyson Daniels, who had been having a really solid preseason, offensively, all around, but in particular offensively for where he had been last season, struggled with his shot tonight, but still, like you talk about his activity, two steals, five boards, he still very much did the Dyson things. He didn't let that take him out of the game.
No, look, I know he's probably going through a little bit of confidence issues because I think tonight was his second free throw air ball, right, the preseason, and he didn't even look to shoot a three-pointer. But again, I don't think he had a good catch-and-shoot look, right? Once he's normally going to stick to taking. But there was like a couple of drives, and I know there was one at the end of the shot clock to where last year, he's looking to pass that ball and say somebody else make a play. No, he tried to make a couple of plays tonight. And so a guy that's a little bit still probably got, you know, something going on upstairs where I'm hesitant, right, especially if you get into the free throw line, because right now my stroke feels anything but on. I still saw that aggressiveness. But, yeah, defensively, how many times he got deflections and fighting for those defensive rebounds. Next to Jemison, I thought he was the most impressive rebounder the Pels had tonight. So
he was
that's
going to
be
good.
Huge, right? That's going to be absolutely huge. And it makes it enticing, at least maybe on paper. Z, Herb, Dice, B.I., C.J. Some kind of those five combination of those guys. Because I'll tell you what, if you can get Dyson rebounding, you got a couple other guys, then maybe because you're so fast, so talented, the offense can offset any kind of those defensive limitations.
Yeah, if you can have really strong perimeter defense with Zion, you have to have a really good, strong perimeter defense with Zion at the five. People talk about you want to have shooters. To me, it's far more important who you have around him defensively when he's at the five, because he's going to score. He's going to score. I'm not worried about the offensive end. Points will be scored. It's can y'all defend with him at the five? And that starts with the guards, because you cannot allow a bunch of penetration when Zion is at the five. And they did a good job tonight of not allowing Orlando's guards to. Now, the three-point shot, they gave up a lot of open looks. And that's something they got to work on. But this has been throughout the preseason. I'm sorry, but again, teams are only shooting 29% against the three. That shows you how bad they had been at defending the two, because you're getting blown out. It's because you weren't giving up a bunch of threes. Tonight was really the worst. They had allowed some open looks, and they allowed them to the wrong guys when you're letting the Wagner brothers get open looks in particular. But I don't think that was symptomatic of what we've seen mostly through the preseason.
No, the Pelicans look like they're going to be able to continue what we saw last season, right? They held opponents to the best, or I should say lowest, three-point field goal percentage. And you see why, right? They attack closeouts hard. They've also got that length. So, for instance, tonight, I thought in the first 3 minutes, I think I saw Herb Jones get beat on backdoor cuts twice because he was, you know, trying to attack that closeout a little bit early on the wings. So I know once Franz Wagner beat him backdoor. I forget who the other one was. But that's the reason, right? And that's a big deal. You have to keep opponents away from open three-point shots. It's just a given. If you don't, you're going to get murdered. Kind of like what we saw during Stan Van Gundy's lone year here, right? Play the Pelicans, set a new record. They did a terrible job with closeouts. On top of that, they didn't have the right personnel, right? You had Eric Bledsoe's smaller guys closing out than, like, say, Herb Jones and Dyson Daniels. So that makes a difference. Right. So, yeah, I've got confidence that if you can just tighten up the seams, do a little bit better job on the boards, right? I still think that was a little question. Then I think they're going to be fine because, as you mentioned, if they're helping one another, then those opponents aren't going to get those easy layups. And that's the biggest key. You've got to take the main areas of the floor away. You can't give 30-plus whatever attempts next to the rim, usually uncontested ones, and then, of course, those open threes. Got to keep those to a minimum.
Let's also give some shout-outs to I think Kyra had a couple of nice moments, hit a big three. Jalen Crutcher came off the bench, gave you the dagger that kind of put the game away, the three that came after the tip-in that made it 100-90, and that kind of just put the game away there. So he was able to – I think he had, two threes? I think he had a pair of threes tonight. So the bench actually, you know, was able – a couple of guys on the bench did pretty decent work. But we're not going to see, obviously, most of these guys once the season starts. These are not going to be players who move on. But the big thing was for the Pelicans tonight, it was about the effort. We had not seen four quarters of effort tonight. They weren't four perfect quarters tonight, but they were four quarters of solid, legitimate effort, and they won the final two quarters with their reserves, which I, you know, playing most of those minutes, which I think was an important thing too.
Right. All 14 guys showed that effort. The starters, Zion, of course, as we talked to at the start, set that tone. But yeah, the bench falls suit. And I really liked Kyra towards the end of the third quarter. And I almost tweeted something out about this. He had a nice baseline drive. Did kind of a fancy pass, right? Behind the back pass that I think led to Trey Jemison's first bucket, one of those little floaters. And then hits that deep three, but he made himself some nice space. He utilized the screen, took a step back, but then he got himself collected, drilled the three. And then to close out the third quarter, right? I think the Pels had, what, eight seconds, maybe a little bit less, to bring the ball full court, get a good shot up. Kyra brought it all the way up, got a layup with, what was, I think, 1.1 seconds left on the clock. So in just a minute and a half glimpse, we saw again what Kyra can do for you. And I just wish we could see it maybe a little bit more consistently, but I'm hoping that he gets that opportunity because I see a guy that can help, David. And then look, I know I want to see Jose Alvarado back just like everybody else, but I still think moving forward, Kyra can really help because we know Jordan Hawkins, right? He went 1-for-8 tonight. He's not going to be the guy that I think that we saw the first three games, to where he's going to hit, you know, 40% of his threes, to where I think even Willie Green's going to be comfortable playing him, what, maybe 10, 12, 15 minutes a game. I just don't foresee that. And then, of course, we've talked about Dyson. He's not fully offensively confident yet. So where are you going to get that scoring while Trey's out? I still think the best option might be Kyra, right? So I just hope he keeps getting his opportunities.
Yeah, and I think he's going to defend. And I think out of your second unit, it's not going to be – like the three-point looks are going to be pretty much to me. You're really looking primarily at corners, threes with that second unit because I'm asking Jose – I'm asking Kyra drive hard and to kick out to those sides. That's where I wanted to go first, is to those sides. Because if I don't have a lot of bigs here, if we're not talking about a lot of bigs on this roster, then those should be the places where guys are. So I think, yeah, I think that second unit defense and their speed is going to be the key. And then when you get a healthy Trey back and you get that flexibility there with him, his shooting, his ability in transition, his size and his rebounding, and his ability to also block shots too, and it makes them that much more flexible. If they can get that bench, you know, some confidence while Trey is gone, that will be huge for this team, because when he comes back, you know you're getting 15 to 18 points when he just from him coming back.
Yeah, until he gets back, though, I'm a little worried, because let's face it, Jose.
Yeah, I am worried too. Yeah, I'm worried too. Right?
Yeah, Jose and Larry are counted on to be two of the biggest components of that bench unit. You haven't seen a single minute in the preseason. Obviously, they won't. So there's 8 days between now and the first regular season game. I've got to think they'll both be available for that preseason opener, because Willie Green made it sound like both of them, along with Cody Zeller, their returns are right around the corner. But again, they're going to need a little bit of adjustment time, right? Just getting back to game speed, playing with teammates, right? All this stuff. So yeah, that's why I'm looking hard at Kyra Lewis. And why you and I both have these same questions about the bench. Can they hold the fort down enough, right? You feel comfortable about defensively, right? The rotations, no matter what they are, I think going into the regular season. But offensively, no, that's a big question mark right now.
Yeah, who are you going to get 12 points from off the bench right now? We know that this team, when they had that deficit on the bench last year, there would be nights when they couldn't get 10 to 18 points total from the bench. And you've just got to be able to give your starters some rest, especially when we know, again, the margin for error for this team will be narrow, especially at the it's going to be razor thin to start the season. So you've got to get something consistent from your bench. Maybe not the same person every night, but guys have got to step up on that second unit. And in particular, it's really going to be important for them to finish possessions defensively.
Right. So I'm hoping that these next 7 days, the Pelicans will be able to get in a practice gym, right, and iron out some of these concerns, like namely with a bench, incorporating, you know, Larry back in and Jose and such. And of course, in refining the offense, I didn't see too many sets run again. I thought there was a lot of, okay, we're going to try and push it in transition. And if not, we're just going to look and move the ball around the perimeter, one or two passes, and basically find a guy that's kind of open. I thought Herb Jones did a great job of that today, right? Nailed his first shot, which was a three, but then his next two scores came at the rim because he attacked, because he had an open lane. So I think that's going to be kind of how they're going to play, right? I'm not sure they're going to rely on too much on the half court sets to start, because really Willie Green doesn't have as many pieces, I think, as he probably wants to rely on yet. So I think that freedom is probably actually more beneficial, right, to a guy like Kyra, to maybe even the, you know, Jordan Hawkins or Dyson Daniels, right? Those guys, they're just better suited to play out in the open court, trying to make a play. So yeah, David, we'll see. I'm very, you know, let's face it, we were concerned coming in this game. Pelicans had to legitimately show something. And I think they showed enough to where I think we can at least talk everybody off the cliff that maybe they're not headed for a 2-8, 3-7 start where there's all sorts of issues. Now I think at least Zion might step forward, leading it defensively. That was like, again, I'm still surprised we kind of saw the way it unfolded, but glad it unfolded like that. B.I. offensively got himself going. CJ played that perfect third role. And then they utilized Jonas enough. But filling around those edges after those four guys is going to be so crucial, right? Because you're going to have to score, even with good defense, at least 110 points a night, most nights.
Yeah. Yeah. That's going to be the question. And at some point, that figuring out that number, you know, because they got the 3-point number tonight was the first time they were under 30 mm-hmm. in the preseason in attempts. They still shot at only 25%, which was they've not been, I don't think, above 31% in any game, I think, in the preseason, really. But to me, again, I am not worried about attempts. Like, that is never going to be the focus. And to me, I think it's about the quality of the shot and who's taking the shot. And if they reduce the number of threes, I'm fine with that if they're getting good twos. You know, and I think tonight we saw them at times take advantage of getting the good two over just shooting the three. And I think that'll be their benefit. But like I said, Ollie, we got 8 days. We'll see what they do in practice. We'll see who gets healthy. And we'll see in Oklahoma City on October 25th. Memphis. Memphis on – I'm already thinking about the Thunder because they're the fourth game, right? The Thunder, the fourth game or the third?
I think so.
The third
Knicks,
or fourth, yeah.
Knicks are second. Warriors are third, I want to say.
Oh, yeah, so Oklahoma City's fourth, yeah. Knicks, yeah, yeah. So, but we will, 1 week from tomorrow, we will be talking Pelicans for real. So, Ollie, any final thoughts as we get out of here at the preseason?
No, just as you mentioned, let's hope everybody gets healthy, right? We know Trey won't be back. I'm expecting Najee, right? He won't be ready yet either. But get everybody else back. Give Willie Green some options and get them in practice so you can – get them some reps before the start of the regular season.
And let's hope the confidence and that fire that we saw tonight carries over for the next 8 days and they bring that out against the Memphis Grizzlies team. That's certainly going to be waiting for them. That's certainly going to be ready for them.
Yeah, they won't have but John Morant, but you know they're going to bring it. Ooh. Pelicans have struggled up their last few years.
And these two teams don't like each other. So, I mean, I think it's a divisional matchup. It's a game that's a tone setter. It's one that people have been looking forward to. And I think it's an opportunity, again, for Zion Williamson to come out. And this is the start proving it tour. This is for Zion. Start proving it. And we want you to prove it. We are rooting for you to prove it, Zion. Please. for Ollie Cosell, I'm David Grubb. Make sure you check out thebirdrights.com. Make sure you like, subscribe to the Bird Calls, whether you're listening to us or you're watching us on YouTube. Hit that subscribe button, share it with your friends, and let them know to subscribe to Hard to Paint Sports as well. Until the next time, for Ollie Cosell, I'm David Grubb, and in the words of our good friend Preston Ellis, let's go Pelicans.
Mother's Day is almost here, and you can get her the most beautiful time-tested gift around. A watch she can wear every day for Movement. Whether mom's into classic dress watches, rare and refined ceramics, or tried-and-true bestsellers, Movement has something she'll love. And right now, you can save big on the best Mother's Day gift ever with up to 50% off site-wide during Movement's Mother's Day sale at MVMT.com. Again, that's up to 50% off at MVMT.com.